it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you
wait, you couldn't announce my name or anything? All right, never mind. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a wonderful weekend and can give us an hour of your time tonight. I realize we're up against the Emmy Awards, but who cares about that?
Bah humbug.
Yeah, exactly.
You should have seen Dana and me on the red carpet.
That's right. That was a lovely tulle dress you were wearing. The one with the poodle dog on it. I like that very much.
Did you like my boa?
I did. Anyway, so we left those shallow shenanigans to come here and do the show. So as you've heard before, and we'll hear again, Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. It's very, very important. Our lines are totally open right now. Please give us a call as soon as you can at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, food.
There's only two of us, Dana. How many subjects can we cover?
I just want to prepare them. So anyway, that's 415-841-4134. I want to give you our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, @yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week, it's always great to hear from our listeners. If you have an idea for a question or a comment about the show, that's absolutely fine. Feel free. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the known world just by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, God willing, it will be available afterwards at kalw.org. All right. We're going to start with round introductions. I just want to, if you can indulge me for 1 minute, I just want to mention a couple of things here. Some of you may in San Francisco may be familiar, or actually in the Bay Area, with the San Francisco Public Press. A lot of hungry journalists, nice people. They put out a good paper. And if you are familiar with that, on this Thursday, they're having a news quiz night. They're going to show off your big brain and support local public interest journalism. So it is at the Maritime Museum at Beach and Polk Streets in San Francisco. That is the Maritime Museum at Beach and Polk Streets, and it is this Thursday, September 27th, between 6:30 and 9. And there will be prizes, there will be a quiz, there will be drinks, there will be food, it will be a lot of fun. So feel free to come. It is, the tickets are started at $15, and I believe they go to $30, so please come on down if you'd like to support a good local public interest journalism project. And that is Thursday, September 27th, between 6:30 and 9 at the Maritime Museum at Beach and Polk Streets in San Francisco. And you can go to the sanfranciscopublicpress.org to find out more about that, or News Quiz Night 2012 at Eventbrite. Now, on the same track here, on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, I will be doing the questions at the Grand Oaks restaurant for a big trivia game. That is this Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. It is free, so if you can't afford the public press thing, you can come to this. This is in Oakland, the Grand Oaks restaurant in Oakland, California. It is 3701 Grand Avenue in Oakland. This coming Tuesday at 7:30, the number is 510-451-5253. And feel free to come to that. Like I said, it's free. You can meet me and take part in a lot of fun. It'll be a very good night of trivia if you're interested in that. And Leah has something as well.
Right. Well, Dana is showing off his dazzling brain at these events. And I am getting to eat pie. So next Saturday for the 18th Street, there's an 18th Street street fair, which, as I understand it, is a kind of way for Byright Grocery and Creamery, mm-hmm. which are on 18th Street, to mm-hmm. say thank you to the folks in the neighborhood who have put up with them, with the noise and traffic and congestion. But there's, I think, Delfina's participating in Tartine. And the food is for sale. I don't think there's an admission charge at all. The food is for sale, but the profits go to charity.
Wait a minute. Are you in a pie-eating contest?
I am in a pie-judging contest.
Oh, all right.
And since I have
I would like to see you in a pie-eating contest.
I could probably win, hands down. Right. But I want to say that if you bring your own spoon, because I don't know how many spoons they'll have there and how many judges. But if you bring your own spoon, I promise I'll give you a bite.
Okay.
Identify yourself as from KALW.
So it's only pie, though, right?
Bring a spoon. It's pie. And I don't know. I think it's probably all one kind.
Really?
Flavor. Well, maybe not. I have some experience in this, having judged an apple pie contest in the Hate. But anyway, this is the pie contest is about 1 o'clock next Saturday on the 29th on 18th Street in San Francisco.
Okay. All right. So, now I think there's a few minutes left. Then we can do the show.
Now we've done ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Shall I read yours first?
No, I'll read yours first. as I said, we're going to have a little round of introductions. Although Leah Garjek spent a relatively laid-back weekend, she jumped out of her chair at the last out of Saturday's Giants game. Sorry. Hot with baseball fever. I'm sorry. I should have read that. I shouldn't have read that.
That's cold. Okay. Go Giants. Yeah. In the city of 49s, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is a proud 47er.
That's right.
Is that your age?
No, I'm older than that, but it's that refers to what Mitt Romney described the half the country as.
Yes. Oh, that was so... That was not quite as delicious as the Giants winning, but it was pretty darn delicious.
Since I'm one of the people whose vote he's never going to get, so that was... Although I'm not on the dole. But, okay, so again, the number to join us is 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. Leah, we'll start with you.
Okay, what's the only animal to have a skull but no spine?
Mitt Romney? A skull but no spine. Mm-hmm. Well, snakes don't have a...
They do have spines.
They do have spines? Mm-hmm. Okay. Skull but no spines. Does this animal have legs?
Oh, I can't say that.
Can't? Mm-mm. All right. Is it an animal in North America? Can you tell us that?
I don't know if it's indigenous to North America.
All right. Could we see it in a zoo?
I'm trying to think if I can give you a clue because the animal world is so
big.
Big.
Yes. And my knowledge is so small when it comes to these things.
Let's say the name of it is made of two parts, like tomcat. It's not tomcat, but tomcat is a kind of cat. So this has the... familiar word of the kind of species it is at the end. And the first part of it is a word that's been used. This is a very exact clue to describe a woman. Okay? So it's a compound word. The animal's name is a compound word. Mm-hmm. The second part is the kind of species it is, as in tomcat, but it's not a tomcat. And the first part is a word that's been used to describe a woman sometimes.
All right. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Garrett from Union City.
Hello.
Got a couple questions. You know what the Emmy, for the first one is, you know what the Emmy Awards being on? Agnes Moore, I don't know if she was best for a role in Bewitched, actually won an Emmy Award for guest starring in another series. You know what it was?
Twilight Zone?
Nope.
Agnes Moore.
It was not the same time as Bewitched, I'll give you that.
Same time. Was it a Western?
Yes.
Wagon Train?
Nope.
Probably one of the big Westerns, though.
Gunsmoke?
Nope.
Bonanza?
They never gets Gunsmoke, though.
Bonanza?
Nope. Bonanza was on NBC.
All right. Half Gun Will Travel?
Nope. It was the mid-60s. I'll give you that.
Western mid-60s. No, we don't know.
Oh, I'll give you one more clue. The title, the first and second part of the title start with the same letter. No, actually, the first and third part of it start with the same letter, actually.
That is not helpful enough. No. I'm sorry, I don't know.
It was the Wild Wild West.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I used to watch that.
A character called Angela, a villainess named Angela Valentine. She won the Emmy Award for the episode of The Night of the Vicious Valentine.
Okay.
Here's my second question. You know there was a sequel to Mr. Roberts called Ensign Pulver?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a scene at the film, though, where Captain Horn played by Burl Ives. He plays, still was his favorite movie on deck, though. It has footage from a movie at Boris Karloff called The Walking Dead, but it was incorporating new footage to make a new film. You know what the film was?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask just what movie it actually was, and I would have known The Walking Dead. No.
You can find a new footage.
No, don't know.
You don't know?
Mm-mm.
It's a real tough one. It's young Dr. Jekyll meets Frankenstein.
Okay, I'm sorry.
They put new footage for the old, for The Walking Dead.
Right, I remember that. Yeah, Edmund Gwynn and Boris Karloff.
Yeah, it's a scene that where Robert Walker shoots that tinfoil full of carpet tacks into his butt.
Right. Well, sorry about that. I'm sorry we didn't do better.
Yeah.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay. So, give me two questions. What is the only cell in the body visible with the naked eye?
Single cell.
Single cell. The only cell in the body visible with the naked eye.
I'm looking.
You're looking in the wrong place.
A big cell.
Mm-hmm. That's right. What is the only cell in the human body visible with the naked eye? All right, think it over. All right, now here's a question that you may enjoy, Leah. I have a list of the four best-selling cookbooks in United States history. So these are the best-selling cookbooks ever in the United States. I'll give you one guess.
Fanny Farmer.
No.
Oh!
I'll give you another guess then.
Oh, The Joy of Cooking.
Yes. Yes. Hmm. So again, these are the four best-selling cookbooks ever in the United States. Leah got The Joy of Cooking. And what is the only cell in the body visible with the naked eye? And of course, you have to be looking in the right place. But and the number to join us is 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is John in Bernal Heights.
Hi, John.
Hi, and I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I am, it's political, and Dana, are you the one who is interested in presidents?
Well, yeah, I'm interested in presidents.
Okay. Now, so I read an article this week that Mitt Romney could win the election and do it in a way that a president and vice president have not done it in almost 100 years. And that is, he and Paul Ryan could both lose their home states, and yet still win the the electoral vote. That's
right.
The thing. So when was the last time that was done?
Oof.
And who were the candidates, and what were their states?
Help me out just a little bit. It's 20th century.
It is all right. I'll help you out to say it's 20th century. All That's right. all I'm going to say.
And
throw it out to the audience. I don't know.
So the two losing candidates.
It's both the president and the vice president of the same party. Mm-hmm. They won the election.
Well, they won the election, but they lost
their
seats.
They won the election, right, with the number of electoral votes. They did not carry either home state of the presidential candidate or the vice presidential candidate.
Maybe Nixon?
No.
Could it be Reagan's first
election? No. I'm pretty sure he carried California.
All right.
Nixon carried California?
Mm-hmm. We don't remember 68. California was a solid red state, as we'd say today.
Yeah, maybe it did.
For quite a while.
All right, let me think. No, I was going to say Gore, because Gore... No, but he didn't win.
He didn't win.
Sorry.
It would be a similar situation, but of course he didn't win.
Gosh. You have to give me another hint,
Did Jimmy Carter lose?
No, he carried Georgia. In his initial run.
Let's see. Is this before or after World War II? Can you tell me that?
It is before World War II. All right, so we're giving you more hints.
All right.
Before World War II.
Before World War II. Well, it can't be Roosevelt. I don't think it's Hoover. Coolidge. Learning.
Teddy Roosevelt?
No.
What did you say?
Teddy Roosevelt?
Teddy Roosevelt.
No.
Oh.
No.
Wilson.
Wilson. You are correct on that. In 1916.
Right.
Now, his home state, this is somewhat like Romney. Romney's home state at this point is?
Well, he has so many.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Roosevelt's home state was?
Wilson or Roosevelt?
I'm sorry, Wilson. Sorry, yeah, Wilson.
New
Jersey, yes, right, because he was, when he ran, he was, you know, had been, I think.
Governor of New Jersey.
Was still governor? Yeah, yeah. So governor of New Jersey, and I guess that was his
voting
address.
His vice president was Marshall.
You are correct on that.
And
you're good.
But I don't remember what state Marshall was from, I'm sorry to say.
Indiana,
okay.
Indiana.
All right.
Yeah, so that was, and what was... That election was a little bit like Clinton's victory. Can you say how Roosevelt? I'm sorry, Wilson's.
Because it was a three-way. It was a three-way.
It was a three-way
election.
Exactly. The Republicans were split.
Right.
And that's where Teddy came in.
Right.
But yeah. He was in the bull moose. Yeah. Good.
Thank you very much.
Well, I thought I'd inject some election spirit into the show. Goodbye.
Very small bell for us. Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Justin in Oakland, and I'm a first-time caller and listener, and the show's amazing, and I have nothing to contribute, but I'm really enjoying myself.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm still stumped by the skull without the spine.
Me too.
Is there any other clues that can be offered on that?
Maybe it's just a head. You never know.
No. it's an unpleasant... image of a woman. That word, the first part of it.
An unpleasant, but that's the
term.
Modified term.
The,
okay.
Pejorative, huh?
Mm.
I don't know anything that's safe for radio, so I'm gonna say thank you guys very much for doing what you do, and let you go on to the next caller.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Dana, is the visible cell? Is it hair?
Not hair. No. That's not single cell.
No.
This is a single cell. Supposedly, I mean, that's what the research that I found anyway. So if you, in case you wondered what questions he's referring to, what is the only cell in the body, the human body, visible with the naked eye?
Is an egg cell?
Yes. Yes, a female egg.
You could see that?
So, yes, if you're looking close and in the right place, yes, you can. Very good.
Wow.
Very good. Yes. Female egg. Very good. And Leah, it's your turn.
Okay. I have a few animal questions. This is actually appropriate for today. A sloth travels 0.15 miles and not miles. Oh, dear. Inches an hour. 0. You know what? I can't read my handwriting here. I wrote this down a few weeks
ago.
Very.
We already know they're very slow animals. So
how? My question is how long does it take to run the bases of a baseball diamond?
If you're a sloth.
If you're a sloth.
And you're so inclined. All right.
I think. Yeah. I think it is 0.015 miles an hour. Does that make sense? No. Right.
Yeah, well...
It doesn't?
No, actually, that seems kind of fast.
A tenth of a mile would be two blocks, right? So, 0.01...
It seems fast for a sloth, but then I don't know that much about the sloth.
A sloth. It's not a snail. I mean, a sloth is moving. It's, okay, let's say... I mean, that's what I wrote down, so...
All right, start the whole thing over.
Okay. Sorry, listeners. This show is imprecise, but that's the way life is. Sloth travels 0.15 miles an hour. This is from a book called Unusual Creatures by Michael Hirst. How long would it take the sloth to run the bases of a baseball diamond?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Pete, how are you?
Good.
Very good. Okay, so with the cell, I have the answer, because I actually asked you the question about a year ago.
Oh.
But what is the smallest?
The smallest what?
Cells in the human body.
Oh.
The ovum is the biggest, woman's egg, but it is also the smallest. I'll give you a hint, because I have a couple of questions. It's exactly the opposite of the egg. What is it?
The sperm.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Okay. A couple of questions, very quickly. All dogs make sound, which we call bark. There's only one species of dog that doesn't. You know which one?
Yeah.
The Senji?
The Senji.
The Senji, it is. Okay. This food item is far more expensive than gold. It could be far more expensive than gold. In fact, it could be 10 times as much expensive as gold. Do you know which one?
Must be.
Truffle.
What's that in?
Truffles?
Yeah, which one? Very good.
Black truffle?
No.
I don't know. White truffle?
White truffle.
All right.
That's right.
Those are the only two I know.
Last question. If you really feel like having lunch, you can go to that restaurant, and all you have to pay will be... something in the term of $25,000 to get a hamburger and ice cream and as well as an ice cream sundae. Do you know which restaurant?
$25,000?
Right.
Does that include the fare to get there?
That doesn't include tax or tip or anything.
Is this a local or where?
I would say it's within the United States.
Within the United States?
Yeah.
Sounds like something in New York.
No.
No.
Believe it or not, no. There are.
Oh, is it?
There is a place in New York that you can spend about $600 for a hamburger.
Eric, our board op, says it's in Vegas.
It is in Vegas. What is the name?
Very good. Well, all right, Eric. You've eaten there many times, I'm sure.
It is the name.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, obviously, it is ridiculous to ever imagine. So this week we had a couple of warnings about rice and some of the vegetables were being laced with arsenic. Are you aware of that?
No.
In fact, there's a warning from the United States government not to eat as much rice because there is considerable amount of arsenic that had been contaminating rice. So I would be able to cut down the rice eating to about half, maybe two servings a week, mm-hmm. Eating it every day. Well, thank you very much. All of the great show.
All right, thanks.
By the way, I did list you on my Facebook page, the whole website. I think it's very, very useful for people to go to it. Just Google search M, the space EID. Lot of good information.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is just the Mighty Two. Leah Garczyk from the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And the number is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134.
We're the Desi and Lucy of
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, she's the head. I'm the spineless one, I guess. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. All right. Let's see. I think it's my turn. All right. What three real people from U.S. history have been on Pez dispensers?
Elvis?
No.
No.
Think more in terms of history.
Oh, Abraham Lincoln.
No.
Oh.
That would be bad because... it'd be like he's being assassinated all the time because Ted would come up right then.
George Washington?
No. Mm-mm.
Three people.
What three real people from U.S. history have been on Pez dispensers?
Santa Claus?
Real people from U.S. I didn't want to. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break that to you. And the number to join us is 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
I think I guessed Leah's animal.
Ooh.
Based on her hint. Is it a hagfish?
Yes.
Oh.
You're right.
Interesting.
Yay.
Interesting.
And I'm going to guess, can I guess that... it takes a sloth a year to run the bases?
No, it's much faster than that.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
That was a pure guess. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And, all right, let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, please.
It's Michael from El Cerrito.
Hi, Michael.
The sloth going around the bases, mm-hmm. would that be about 27 minutes?
Yeah.
Good job.
Good job. Great arithmetic.
You have to know how long the bases are.
So. Yeah, good for you. Thank you.
Is Roy Rogers on a pest dispenser?
He is not. These are, think in terms of American history, more not entertainment.
Oh.
Like Robert Oppenheimer.
Yes, just like that. Yeah, I don't know how they ignored that, but.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Not Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay. Well, that's all I have for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ethel Rosenberg.
No. And I think Sacco and Vanzetti were the two of them, and two out of the three. But go ahead.
Please. Al Capone.
No. Pretty Boy Floyd, but not Al Capone. Go ahead. It's your turn.
Okay. If you laid end to end every hair on your head over, if you had a 75-year-old lifespan and all the hair that you produced...
It's too late.
Okay. That a whole head. The average person, how far would it go if you started it in New York and moved westward? About how long would it be?
But why would you, as the person once said? So you're taking all the hair. Now, this is an average person?
Right.
Okay. And it could be male or female or just an average of the both?
Yeah.
All right. Take all the hair on their head, lay it each hair end to end.
Mm-hmm.
How far would you get?
Mm-hmm.
How far would you get? Hmm. Mm-hmm. And you said, I'm sorry, you said the United States, starting in New York?
Is yeah.
It? And going west.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I would say Hawaii, but I'll say Hawaii.
No. Mm. No.
Maybe Gorilla Man, but not... Yeah. Okay. Why don't you repeat that? I'll just give that one.
If you laid all the hair on your head in a whole lifetime, strand by strand, in lock by lock, in a 75-year-old lifespan, how far would it go from New York, beginning in New York and going westward?
Who's done this?
A man who wrote a book on hair that was, I should have written down his name, but this was in a story in The New Yorker.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? Hello?
Yes, hi. I had a sloth, a pet sloth in South America.
Oh, you did? Did it like baseball?
Well, let me tell you, I think that it would never have made around the baseball three bases in 27 minutes because it moves in slow motion. And so I think maybe that percentage that you've got of how fast it moves per minute is off because they're excruciatingly slow in their movements.
Ah.
So that's just from personal experience. And then I think that the hair would... get to about 450 feet, inches, because hair grows 6 inches a year.
No, I think you're misperceiving the question. I meant various strands laid end to end.
Oh, of all the hair
yes.
you've ever grown?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I got it wrong. Okay, I'll recalculate. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is Leah Garchik from the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. The number to join us, we have a couple of lines open, 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Leah, why don't we repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet?
Okay. Let's see. Oh, if you laid end-to-end, just the one we just... talked about every hair on your head. If you had a 75-year-long lifespan, and then you laid it, but you couldn't lay it. Your friend would have to lay it because your lifespan would be over. But starting in New York, how far would it go?
All right,
that's all that I've left.
Okay, And I have a list of the four best-selling cookbooks ever in the United States. Leah got...
Can I take another guess?
The Joy of Cooking? Yeah, go ahead.
Betty Crocker.
The Betty Crocker cookbook?
Yeah.
All right. Yes, correct. Very good. All right. Again, the four best-selling cookbooks ever in the United States. Leah got the Betty Crocker cookbook and the Joy of Cooking. What are the other two? The other two best-selling cookbooks of all time. And three people, three real people from United States history, and the accent here is, the emphasis is on history, U.S. history, have been on Pez dispensers. Three real people from U.S. history have been on Pez dispensers.
Are any of them athletes? Can you answer that?
No, none of them are athletes. Not in the sense that we know today, anyway. And, okay, so I think I'm going to do a question here. All right, one guess, Leah. What five state capitals are named after people who never set foot in the United States? What five state capitals are named after people who never set foot in the United States?
Hmm.
Or the colonies, or however you want to, but no, never set foot in the, this part of the North American continent, anyway.
Bismarck.
Yes. Very good. Bismarck, North Dakota. And, all right, so once more, what five state capitals are named after people who never set foot in the United States? Leah got Bismarck, so what are the others? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Wonderful. This is Phil in Berkeley, and I'd like to take a guess on the Pez dispenser.
Yes.
I know for a fact that Monica Lewinsky turned up on one.
Is that true? Well, you know, I looked this up online on Wikipedia, and there was no mention of Monica Lewinsky. But I'll give
now
you.
Now there are four.
All right, I'll give you Bill. I'll have to look that up. But these are more classic figures from American history. Are you there? No. Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Is the hair thing Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Read it in New Yorker last week.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
That's where. Right. Okay. So I'm going to ask a few other questions based on that article, which I thought was so interesting. So Scouts Honor, you can't answer. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Right.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. The number is 415-841-4134. And go ahead, Leah.
What percentage of people have in the world have black or dark brown hair? And we always have our 10% rule.
Black or dark brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of the Asians have black hair. At least it seems like it. So percentage of the world population.
Mm-hmm.
I will say... black or dark brown. 74%.
No.
Mm-mm. That's not even within 10% then.
Mm-mm. Let's leave it out there.
All right. And what do you know? You don't have black or dark brown hair, so, Eric. And, again, the number is 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is this me?
It is you.
This is Bart in San Francisco.
Hi, Bart.
I've got... My guess for a person on a Pez dispenser would be Abraham Lincoln.
No.
Well, thank you. I tried.
Okay, we'll give you another guess if you want.
Oh, gosh. Teddy Roosevelt?
Nope.
My mind's blank.
All right, you can call back if you think of something else. Bye-bye, Bart.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So the capitals, state capitals?
Yes.
I'm thinking Annapolis?
No, not Annapolis.
Okay, and I'm also thinking Charleston, King Charles.
The capital of South Carolina is not Charleston, or unless you're thinking Charleston, West Virginia, but that Charleston, West Virginia was not named after King Charles.
Oh, okay. And Annapolis neither?
No, that was named after a woman that did live in the colonies of the United States, or the colonies.
Okay. And then I didn't really hear the question. The Pez dispenser?
Yes.
What president?
No. What three people, real people from American history, have been on Pez dispensers? There are no presidents. No presidents in that list.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your show. I'm in San Jose.
Oh, thank you very much.
Was Sacagawea?
No.
They put her on a coin.
They did. They did. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'd like to take a shot at the cookbook question.
Okay.
Is one of them Fanny Farmer?
No, you know, Leah guessed that, and I'm sure she has a copy of that, but it's not Fanny Farmer. If you have another guess, I'll take it.
The other one would be, this is one is newer. Is it the Best Recipe series? That's probably not right.
Who does that?
I really don't know the author. I'm sorry.
Okay, but no, it's not one of the ones I have anyway.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. Give us a call at 415-841-4134 if you have a question or answer. 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Bubba Frisco Dave. I'd like to take a shot at the cookbook question, and I was going to guess Fanny Farmer, but I had a backup guess.
All right.
Which was Better Homes and Gardens.
You're right. The Better Homes and Gardens cookbook. That is number two. Very good.
And we're still short one, right?
Yes, we are.
I would bet it's a Julia Child book.
Well, Joy of Cooking is her, right?
No.
No, that's not her.
No.
I'm sorry. No, there's no Julia Child cookbook on this list.
Oh, okay. Well, have a great evening.
All right, thank you. And Leah, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Okay, this week in San Francisco history, three things started. I'm going to give you the dates of those things, and I'd like you to tell me what happened. There were either openings or reopenings or premieres.
Are you going to tell us how long ago it was?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the dates.
All right.
September 25th, 1992.
Okay.
September 26th, 1923. And September 27th, 2008.
Oh, I thought you would go much further back. What was the last one once more?
September 27th, 2008.
2008.
Right.
So three things started with this. In other words, so it's an ongoing thing.
I'm going to give you a few clues, too, okay? Uh-huh. In September 25th, 1992, it has to do with traffic, okay? September 26th, 1923.
You said 1993.
No.
Did you say 1923?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It has to do with with culture.
All right.
Let's say. And September 27th, 2008. Has to do with research.
Research. Okay. Was the 92, is that, you said it has something to do with traffic. Is that anything to do with the first camera over a...
No.
Okay. And September...
These are three dates of things that are institutions.
In San Francisco?
Yeah, lower eye institutions.
All right. 1923. And you said that's cultural.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it the opera, symphony, or ballet sort of?
Mm-hmm.
I better go with opera.
Yeah. Okay. Right. September 26, 1923 was the premiere of the San Francisco Opera.
Okay. And September 27th, 2008.
Yeah.
That's not very long ago. And that's an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, it's Laura from Oakland.
Hi, Laura.
And we want to answer the Pez question. My
yes.
family thinks it's Benjamin Franklin.
No.
How about Albert Einstein?
No.
Those are our guesses.
You were closer with Benjamin Franklin.
I know. Well, that's what we thought. We thought it was that history, but we can't get it. We don't know it. So maybe we'll call back.
I think Benjamin Franklin probably met a couple of these people.
We have met them. We've met them?
No. I said Benjamin Franklin probably did.
Oh, Ben Franklin probably did. Okay.
Yes.
Betsy Ross.
Yes.
Oh, Betsy there you
Ross.
Go.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Are the Bye-bye. Others both guys?
They are both guys.
Paul Revere.
Yes, Paul Revere is one.
All right.
All right. So Betsy Ross and Paul Revere. But there's still one left. Still one left. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, hi. This is Nancy from Berkeley.
Hi, Nancy.
I was going to say Better Homes and Garden, but what about Betty Crocker?
Well, Leah said that. Leah did guess Betty Crocker.
Oh, my husband said the Moosewood...
Cookbook.
Cookbook.
Not the Moosewood Cookbook.
Not the Moosewood Cookbook.
No.
Okay.
I like that one, though.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Is it the Boston School something cookbook?
Oh, I know what you mean. No. Mm-mm. Okay. So, again, just to repeat, I have a list of what five state capitals in the U.S. are named after people who never set foot in the United States. Leah got Bismarck. I'm looking for the others on that list. And, all right, what is the largest U.S. city with a German name in the U.S.? What is the largest city with a German name in the U.S.? And I will say, just to make it a little bit easier for you, it's west of the Mississippi, okay? What is the largest city with a German name in the United States?
Not Anaheim.
Oh, very good. You ruined it. That's all right. You got the right answer. Yes, Anaheim. Very good. How'd you get that?
Well, I was thinking about German words.
Good. Good job. Yes, Anaheim. All right. Killed that. All right. What national capital is furthest away from any other national capital in the world? What national capital is furthest away from any other national capital? And you have to give the name of the capital, not the name of the country. Once more, what national capital in the world is furthest away from any other national capital? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a guess for the capital.
Yes.
How about St. Paul?
Very good. As far as I know, he never visited the United States.
Excellent. That's the only one I know.
All right. Very good. Thanks a lot. Yes, St. Paul is one of the five state capitals that are named after people who never set foot in the United States. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
My wife thinks that 88% of the world population has dark or black hair.
Well, that's close enough. It's 90%. Her feet, right. So, yes.
Okay. Is Richmond named after someone who's never set foot in the United States, Richmond, Virginia?
No.
Okay. I have a correction for you.
Mm-hmm.
The capital of Maryland was named after Princess Anne and not after Anne Arundel.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry that the research I went to was misinformed then.
Okay. The town used to be called Anne Arundel's Town.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the Protestants took over in Maryland, they decided to change the name to Princess Anne, who eventually became Queen Anne because she was a Protestant
Right.
Ruler. well, she wasn't ruler at the time, but she was a Protestant. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Who was the last American president who was born a British subject?
William Henry Harrison.
Pardon?
William Henry Harrison?
No.
All right, let me think. Andrew Jackson.
No.
No. Who? Okay.
I'll give you a hint.
Yes.
It's closer than you think.
British subject. It's closer than you think?
Yes. Not a British citizen, a British subject.
So could you be talking about a more current president that happened to be born overseas? But I don't know if you can do that. No, wait a minute.
He's been rumored to have been born overseas.
Oh, no, we're not doing Obama with this. No.
His father was a Kenyan subject, a British subject. And at the point where Obama was born, because his father was a British subject, he became a British subject.
All right.
Later on, they changed the rules to tighten things up a bit.
But right.
He was actually born a British subject.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Kevin in Los Angeles.
Hey, Kevin.
I've got a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a show that was talking about this new movie that's come out, The Master.
Oh, the one that's supposedly not based on Scientology.
It's totally not based on Scientology at all.
All right.
But what's interesting about it is it was shot entirely in 70mm.
Hmm.
So can you tell me the last time that a film was shot in entirely 70mm for a regular American release? There's been a couple non-narrative films in the Baraka Samsara vein.
I always have to go back to the Fox stuff from The Big Trail and stuff like that. Is that sort of the era you're thinking of, or is it something later than that?
It's going to be later than that.
Okay. 70mm. So it's not Cinerama, obviously, because that's more than 70mm, right?
No. I don't think you're going to have much of a chance. This is something from the mid-90s.
Oh, something from the mid-90s. Hey, but it's a big film, obviously.
It was a pretty big film.
What was the genre of the film?
Yeah, especially in length. I mean, it's over 240 minutes.
Oh, not Titanic.
It was released on Christmas Day. I remember that.
You remember that? And is it? It's live action.
It is live action.
Mid-90s.
Based on a very classic old piece of work.
Huh. A classic old piece of work.
Yeah.
A famous novel?
No.
Oh. No. I'd just be guessing.
Okay. It's Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes, that's a classic old piece of work.
Can you tell me what supposedly was the last American movie shot and filmed in Technicolor?
Didn't they use it a couple of times within the last 15 years or so?
If this would be the last movie, shot in Technicolor, not just pieces
totally.
Of it or something like that.
Not right offhand. Can you give me a hint, or is somebody in it or anything like that?
It's a sequel.
Sequel.
Yeah, it's a sequel that's worthy of having Technicolor. Let's put it that way. How many movies can you say are worthy?
So the original was Technicolor too?
You know what? I bet it is. Yeah. You know what? Here's another thing. It's a sequel and a prequel.
Oh, so it must be one of the Star Wars things?
No.
No, not even on the right track, huh?
I'll give it to you. 1974? Anyone?
No.
Leah?
Mm-mm.
Godfather Part 2.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, a little film history. Thanks, guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't do better.
Ah, well, they were after 1970, so
yeah, exactly.
After 1942.
No, I can go up until the 60s.
I know, it's a teasing.
All right, yeah. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Dana.
Bye, bye. Yes, Leah.
Columbus, Ohio.
Yes, Columbus, Ohio. Very good. Very good. And she's referring to a question I asked earlier, what five state capitals, U.S. state capitals, are named after people who never set foot in the United States. Columbus actually never set foot in the United States.
Here we have a question from headquarters.
What's the oldest continuously operating musical organization in the U.S., and how long has it been in operation? So you want to think in terms of, it's like a symphony orchestra or something? Is that sort of, they gave you the answer too, right, Eric? All right. You just didn't give us the answer. All right. Continuously operating. That's probably the clue. Musical organization in the U.S.
Boston Symphony Orchestra?
No. The Harmonicats?
The Beach Boys.
It started in 1882.
Oh, that's not so... musical organization. So is it a name of a group of players?
Yes.
Is it more than four people?
Oh, yes.
The New York Philharmonic?
No.
I was thinking
this is older than any orchestra in the U.S.
But it's in the U.S. Chicago Symphony?
It's older than any orchestra or symphony in the U.S.
So it's not an orchestra then? No. Or symphony? Or is it a string quartet?
You don't suppose it's something... Is it something local? Yes. Is it the band, like the band show in Golden Gate Park or something like that?
Maybe.
Give yourself a bell. That's the Golden Gate Park band.
Yeah, I don't know that someplace. All right. Okay, so that's a Golden Gate Park band. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
On the cookbook, is it 10 talents?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, it's Sparky Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Well, you know, it's not often that I give the same answer 2 weeks in a row for your question, Dana. Someone who never set foot in the United States, Columbia, South Carolina.
Correct.
Since I answered that last week.
Right. Well, I never get tired of saying Columbia, South Carolina.
Hey, it must be a nice town.
Right.
And Columbus, Ohio as well. Cookbook. I'm thinking of, like, Women's Day cookbook.
No.
Anything by Martha Stewart?
No.
And that's it otherwise.
All right. This sort of predates Martha Stewart, as far as I know.
Good enough.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas. You going to come on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Great.
I don't really know capitals and stuff like that, but is Pierre anybody?
No, it's actually the name of a real person who was, I want to say trapper or something of that sort, who operated in that area.
And then I'd go for Des Moines. Is that anybody?
No.
Okay, so then I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know that profile that featured Alfred Hitchcock Presents?
Yes.
Do you know who painted that or who did the sketch?
Well, he used to do that when he would sign his autograph.
You're so easy. You just get him like that.
Yeah, that's how he would sign his autograph. He would do a little sketch of himself.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I don't know if he was the first one to do it, though. That I'm not sure about.
Well, he was responsible for it.
Okay.
It was the show thing. And then I have a question. I don't know how late it is in the program.
You have 6 minutes.
No, I'll save it.
No, okay. All right.
Have a good time.
All right, thanks. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. We have a couple minutes left. The number is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Do you have something very quick?
Yeah. There are right now 7 billion people in the world. When were there 6 billion?
I will say 30 years ago.
Nope.
All right. More than that?
No.
Not more than that. Oh, my goodness. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, okay. Hi, this is Helen from Palo Alto.
Hello.
And I was calling about the cactus question again.
Yes.
I wasn't sure on the question.
Let me read the question to you.
Okay.
So I have a list of the 4 best-selling cookbooks ever in the United States, and I'll give you the ones that have been gotten already, so you don't have to repeat anything. Betty Crocker Cookbook, The Better Homes and Gardens Cookbook, and The Joy of Cooking. So it has to be something other than that.
Okay, so I'm probably wrong, because I was thinking more globally, and there's a Isabel Beaton's equivalent of Joy of Cooking in the UK. So I probably don't know then, other than maybe the time, there's a Time Life series.
As far as I know, it's not Time Life, no.
So I guess one other question, I guess 2 things. I was just in Shanghai with my daughter, and we're both strawberry blondes, so we were kind of guessing on the, I don't know if somebody already answered it, but the number of people in the world with black or dark brown hair, and I'm guessing it's more up in the 95%.
90% was the source I had.
Okay.
We'll give you a bell for that, though.
And I guess the last one, just for fun, we looked at, because we thought the sloth question was so interesting, and what we found, if you're three-toed, and I suppose a two-toed goes slower, but if they're just sort of ambling along, they get 6.5 feet per minute, which would be around the baseball 55 minutes, which perhaps the other color was her experience. But the other gentleman was correct. If they're running, I guess, it's 13, they double their speed, and it's 13 feet per minute, so that would be like 27 and a half minutes. So we just looked it up for fun, and we thought that was a great question. Thank you so much.
All right. All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
So in 1992, that was it's the 20th year anniversary this year of Critical Mass.
Right,
oh,
you
good
are.
Job. Good
Great.
Job.
Good for you.
Yeah, well, I've been riding my bike in San Francisco for 20 years. So.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, time to clean up here. What do we got? Liam?
Okay, and September 27, 2008 was the grand reopening of the California Academy of Sciences in its new headquarters.
All right.
And I think, 7 billion people in the world. This is a kind of shocking statistic. There were 6 billion people in 2000.
Slow down.
Wow.
My goodness, use a condom. And let's see, the 5 state capitals that are named after people who never set foot in the United States: St. Paul, Bismarck, Columbus, Columbia. The one that was missing is Albany, which is named after the Duke of Albany, who became James II. And the best-selling cookbooks, the one that's missing is the American Woman's Cookbook. The American Woman's Cookbook. The 3 people from U.S. history who are on Pez dispensers, Betsy Ross, Paul Revere, and Daniel Boone. Daniel Boone. Just to remind you, for the San Francisco Public Press, the news quiz night is at the Maritime Museum on Thursday, September 27th at 6:30. Please come if you can and donate to a good cause. And I will be doing the questions at the Grand Oaks Restaurant in Oakland, California, this Tuesday at 7:30. Grand Oaks Restaurant on Grand Avenue in Oakland, Tuesday at 7:30. You can meet me and say hello, please, if you listen to the show. And perhaps I'll see you there. Bye-bye.